That's what happens when your heart gets fixed, ain't it? Amen. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 John, chapter number 3. 1 John, chapter number 3. All throughout the day, I have thought about how that others could have been saved last night. And then as I was talking with the pastor before the service, the pastor said he really felt throughout the day that others could have been saved last night. And I look around this room, some are back and some are not. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you do not have to wait any farther. And to wait knowing that you're not saved is gambling with your soul. For we all will say and believe that Jesus is coming back, and he could be coming back at any moment. And for you to say, I'll wait, is gambling with your soul. My, if you miss heaven, you have missed it all. So the time to be saved is right now, and I want to say this to you tonight. If I'm preaching and God pricks your heart and helps you to realize that you need him, I beg and plead with you, don't wait until we sing some songs. You get up from where you're at right now, amen, and right when the Lord deals with your heart, and you come, and you come quickly. Amen. I'm reminded in the scriptures of the last message that God gave to us. Now, I'm not preaching from there, but I'm going to read to you the last message that God has for you. Would you be interested in the last message God gave? This is the last message that God gave to the church, or God gave to humankind. And it's in the very end of our Bible. If you were looking for the last thing that God would say, where would you find it? You'd find it at the end of the Bible, wouldn't you? And this is what he says. He says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God, in the last message he puts in our Bible, is pleading for sinners to come. And he wants the church to say, come. That's the bride of Christ. And the Spirit with a big S, that's the Holy Spirit of God, is saying, come. What a Savior we have. What a Lord, what a Master. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I beg and plead with you to come. Amen. Now, I do believe that we're running out of time. And I believe that the time of his appearing is now. I believe it's just at any moment that the Lord Jesus will come into the clouds and call us away. I'm reminded of how that John said that he looked up and he saw a door. And then I'm reminded that Jesus said, I am the door. If anybody wants to know what that was like, amen, Jesus is the door. And when you step through Jesus in the rapture, you will be on the other side. Amen. We will not float through outer space for hundreds of thousands of light years to get there. The door will open, which is Jesus, and we'll step through on the other side, and we will be there. Amen. How could Jesus go to the third heaven and go into the very holies of holies and put his blood, amen, on the mercy seat and then be back in a matter of just a little while so that Mary could touch his feet? It's because he's the door. Amen. And he can step through, amen, and be in heaven and then step back and be back here. He is an amazing God. I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter number 3 in your Bible. 1 John chapter number 3 tonight. And we're going to read in verse number 1. Would you stand with me for just a moment? 1 John in chapter number 3. And I asked you a question, brother, Brother Sexton. In your Bible, is this word behold, is it in all capital letters in your Bible? Is it that way in yours, John? I dare to say that it's probably, if it's in mine that way, and it's in the pastor's, it's probably that way in yours. Behold, God said. Behold. Behold, you better pay attention.
Behold, listen to what God says. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. I'm interested in the beginning of this verse, in verse number 1, where the Bible says, behold, what manner of love. Amen. Let's pray and you can be seated. Father, we sure are thankful, God, for the love of God. Lord, it passes our understanding. Lord, we try to comprehend the love of God. But Lord, it is past our finding out. Lord, his love is so much higher than ours. And God, we just stand amazed at what kind of love that you could have for us, that you would do what you did so that we could have eternal life. And so, Lord, I'm praying, God, that what is said tonight from this pulpit, I would exalt and magnify the Savior. Lord, I'm praying that God would be lifted up tonight, and God, that we would see him high and lifted up. And God said, if we'd lift him up, that he'd draw all men unto him. And so, Lord, we're praying, God, we're asking, God, that you would do something unusual again tonight. And God, for those, not if there be someone, but for those that are here that are not saved, amen, I am praying, God, that they would see the love of God and come and be gloriously saved before it's everlasting too late. And for that, God, we will thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul? To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, when I was sinking down, beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, for my soul. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. To God and to the Lamb I will sing, to God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb, who is the great I am. While millions join the theme, I will sing, I will sing. While millions join the theme, I will sing. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing His love for me. And through eternity, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And through eternity, I'll sing on. What wondrous love is this? What kind of love are we talking about? In Luke chapter 23, I find that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is dying on the cross. A popular evangelist a while back, he said this. He said, Jesus did not die on the cross because He loved us. He made a point that He was obeying the Father, and truly He did obey the Father. But Brother Sexton, I could not go along with what he said. For the Lord Jesus Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And he said, you're my friend. If you do whatsoever I command you, what is it that God commands us to do? Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Lord Jesus had walked up Calvary's hill. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that He might save them from endless loss. What kind of love are we talking about? We're talking about a love that's so strong that God the Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What kind of love? I wanted you to turn over to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter number 23 for just a little bit tonight. Amen. Luke chapter 23, we find that the Lord Jesus has been beaten. He has been beaten beyond recognition. According to our Bible, His visage, that's His appearance, was marred more than any man. You have never seen someone that has been beaten as bad as the Lord Jesus Christ was beaten. Brother Buster Seaton, evangelist of days gone by, at our church one time, he said that he went over to the very place where they say that the Lord Jesus was scourged and beaten. And he said that they said that whole band of soldiers that took turns on Him, hitting Him and slapping Him, he said that it was between 200 and 600 of the elite soldiers of the day, like our Green Berets, our Navy SEALs, our Rangers, the strongest and most physical of the guards. They brought the Lord Jesus in, and those men took turns. As they walked up to him, they blindfolded him, and they reared back with their hand, and they smote the Lord Jesus in the face. And no doubt, John, the first time that they hit him, blood began to trickle from his nose and his mouth. Jesus said, could I not call down legions, 10 legions? Could I not call down angels from heaven? Could he have? Someone debated one time and said he could not have called them down, for he had, I said, he was going to the cross, and truly, amen, that's the truth. And they said, Brother Fraser, what do you think? And I said, well, Jesus said he could have called them down. I think I believe him instead of you. They didn't like that too much. They didn't speak to me no more, but it was okay. The Lord Jesus was beat beyond recognition. They smacked him. They began to beat him with their fist. And the Lord Jesus opened not his mouth. I can't help but to believe, Brother Williams, that the angels, perhaps maybe Michael, may have been in the very presence. Where else would he have been? And when they hit the Lord Jesus the first time, hey, it is very possible that Michael may have eased over to him. Lord, knowing that Jesus was the one that spoke him into existence, he may have eased over to him and said, Lord, just say the words. Just say the words, and I'll destroy these people. But Jesus opened not his mouth. You want to know why? What kind of love? What kind of love is that? You want to know why, ma'am? Because of you. He loved you. I can't explain it, but he loved us. They beat him. They thought to kill him. And they took turns on him until his face was beat and marred beyond recognition. You could not tell he was human anymore. Perhaps maybe one said, I'll break his nose. But he couldn't. Maybe the next said, hey, you didn't do it, but watch his. And he may have reared back with an arm that big and reared back and hit him with everything he could. But he couldn't break it. No doubt I can see Jesus' head rock back. Boom! Boom! And another. For perhaps 300, 400 took turns, sir. When one would get tired, another would take over. But that wasn't enough. They took the Lord Jesus and they taunted him up and they pulled out what they call the cat of nine tails. Brother Buster Seaton said he saw the place. Grace, he saw it. He said it's still there. He said there was a basin there. He said the floor, it slanted down and there was a place where you could put a bowl. And so that the blood and the meat from the victim could be washed down into the bowl to take it out of the room. And he said he noticed over by the side and there was a trough. And he said that's where they kept it. That's where they kept the cat of nine tails. It was a handle with nine leather thongs protruding from it, braided within were rocks and sharp objects. And this man would have reached over into that water, salt in there to keep the stench down from the rottening of the meat from the previous victims. Are you hearing me? And they rolled it out, no doubt, and pulled it down, and it screeched across the floor as he made his way over to the Lord Jesus, which had done nothing. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. This man has done nothing amiss. They brought that cat of nine tails screeching across like fingernails on a chalkboard, and they reared back, and the Lord Jesus stretched out and told with his face beaten. They reared back, and they throwed that whip, and it would have sunk into him. They'd have jerked and pulled, and chunks of meat would rip from his body. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus could see his bones. My bones, they stare at me. Why? What kind of love is this? The Lord Jesus, he took the beating for us. Now after beating, until his flesh now is gone, his back is nothing but blood and ripped and torn muscles. The Father is watching it. What kind of love is this? They took the Lord Jesus and they placed on him a cross. Some argue about it. If you want to argue about it, you can argue. But I believe he carried it the whole way. You say, what about Simon? I believe he guided him through. His eyes were swollen shut. But I believe the Lord Jesus took that cross. No doubt hundreds of pounds. The Lord Jesus couldn't see anymore. His face beaten nearly off. They pulled out his beard. They beat his eyes shut. Blood is gushing from his head. The thorns that were on his head and no doubt had protruded through his ears, they may have been ripped off. And he started up Calvary's Hill. I read something about a crucifixion. They said that children would run alongside of the victims and they'd take sticks and they'd stick it in dung and they'd go and sling it on the person as they went by. Can you imagine? Jesus, beaten beyond recognition, his spine protruding through his back, his kidney dangling from the side in his heart. You can see it through his chest. And Jesus makes his way up the hill. They laid it down and Jesus laid down his life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life. John, they couldn't take it from him. No man taketh my life from me. But I lay it down, Jesus said. What kind of love? What kind of love is this? Could you do that with one of your sons? Could you let somebody do him that way, Brother Wayne? Would you do that for some sinner? I wouldn't. I got a little grandson named Logan. I wouldn't give him for the world. But God did. God gave his son. They raised up the cross, ma'am, and they dropped it in a hole. Thud! And it jerked his shoulders out of their sockets and his legs and hips. Every joint come out of socket screaming, oh God! My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God the Father, that could not look on sin, had to turn away. because he loved you. What kind of love is this? Well, here in Luke chapter 23, we find in verse number 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged that railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Other accounts in the scripture tells us that both men, one on one side and one on the other, they both were railing at Jesus. They both were mocking him and scorning him and making fun of him and playing with the Lord Jesus. Both of them. Can you see him hanging there? Nothing but blood. Maybe his bowels. They're dangling. It's not one of those pictures that you see. I wear a little drop of blood here, a little drop there. But no. He's on the cross. He's dying. But then all of a sudden, one of those men that had been railing on him. Sir, one of those men that had been mocking him. He realized that Jesus was the Son of God. And he turned and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus. Now, ma'am, they would have had the Lord Jesus on the cross. It was not some pretty something like this. No, they would be in the knees of the person that was dying on the cross. His hands would have been something similar to this. He would have pulled up in order to breathe and pushed up with his legs in order to get a breath. But when the pain was so bad on his feet, he'd have to let himself back down. But when he did, his shoulders would come in and it began to mash off the hair and the blood flowing to the brain. And so he'd have to pull himself back up. And with his back ripped and torn up and down the cross, Jesus would have been pulling himself up to get a breath. And then he couldn't hold it and he let himself back down. But he heard somebody. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I could see him. I can see him. What kind of love is this? I can see him. I can see him just, I mean, oh my. I can see him. I can see his face. Probably you can see his teeth ripped through the side of his face. His head probably twice the size he should be. I can see his kidneys and his, I can see his bones of his legs staring at him. And I could see him reach up, pull himself up to get a breath. The man said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, and probably blood spurted from his mouth. And he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What kind of love is this? Who would do that? You wouldn't do it, sir. Jesus had all the power. He could have called down the fire from heaven. He could have called down angels. He could have said, God, that's it. But instead, he waited to hear. And he's still waiting. He still wants to hear. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come now and let us reason together. It's reasonable, ma'am. It's reasonable, sir, for you to come talk to him. No greater love hath man than this. Greater love hath no man than this. And he's waiting for you. He died for you, ma'am. He died for you, sir. And his last message is the Spirit says, come. And the bride says, come. Will you come? Let's bow our heads together tonight before I ask the pastor to come. No one has ever loved you like this. The Father's love is past my understanding. I cannot tell you the love of God. It's past our preaching. But I can tell you, I know it's real. And God the Father loved you so much that He gave the Lord Jesus to die in your place. Why are you waiting? I can tell you this. The Lord Jesus loves you so much that before the foundations of the world, they knew, and Jesus said, I'll be a sacrifice. No one has ever loved you like that. And the Holy Spirit of God loves you enough that He has spoke to your heart several times today, and you know it. He spoke to you, ma'am, several times today. Can't you just love Him back? He wants to forgive you. He wants to save you. He wants you to be with Him for eternity. And He's prepared a place for you. He wants you to be there. Will you come to Him? Will you come to Him? Will you love Him back? Oh, how I love Him. Blessed Redeemer. Precious Redeemer. Oh, how I love Him. Would you come tonight? Pastor's coming. How about you tonight? Have you ever even thought about how much He loves you? And will you at least love Him back? Preacher, I'm done. Oh, God, help us tonight.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, oh, God, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And oh, God, You had compassion for that malefactor on the right hand. God, you had mercy upon that soldier that probably drove the nails in your hand. God, you had mercy upon those that were, some of them that were in the crowd. And Lord, You even said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Your mercy is still here tonight. 2,000 years later, the story is just as fresh as it was when it happened. Oh God, You showed us how much You love us. God, would You deal with somebody's heart one more time? God, would You prick them, Lord Jesus? God, I pray, Lord, that somebody will love You back tonight.